Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Former Texans wide receiver David Anderson joining us on the Triple Threat on Sports Radio 610. DA, are you a good beer pong player?
I'm one of the best. I went to a state school. I'm one of the best out there.
Are you?
You know, it's state school means something excellent. Different in Texas. You know.
Is that your go-to party game of choice, beer pong, or do you have another particular one that you were good at back in the day?
I would say beer pong is probably one of my better games. Yeah, I'm good at all the shuffleboard, darts, beer pong, bowling, anything that you can drink and play.
Horseshoes.
I do pretty well.
Do you get better the more you drink?
It's kind of there's a tipping point.
There is. There's a point of diminishing returns for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of like how Ted, when he used to talk to women, he needed five drinks to talk to them, and then after six, seven, eight, it was downhill from there.
Yeah, you know what? I always got a little overzealous, DA. You're right. And then I paid for it later. Yeah. That was my problem.
Yeah, that same happened to me. It happens to everybody. It's just you got to know where your limit is, right? Like, you're not going to go in there guns a-blazing, zero drinks.
Well, yeah, right.
You need to figure it out.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a recovering addict, so one's too many and a thousand's not enough, man. You know what I mean?
Hey, you got to be pretty excited about all those undrafted free agents the Buffalo's put out this year.
Oh, yeah, that's... Absolutely, but you have no idea, man. Thank you for that.
DA, did you have some sort of celebration when the Cowboys drafted a Colorado State wide receiver in the third round?
He was number four. He did break my records, and he did go to the Cowboys. So it was a little – it was good and bad.
Yeah.
I was happy to see a guy get drafted in the third round, I wish you just wore a different number and didn't break my record.
Hell of a name for a wide receiver, too, right?
Isn't it Gallup. Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah. Can't do too much better than that.
Nice. Yep. You got a nice little Dave Gate would have went pretty well, right? Dave Speed.
Oh, David Anderson joining us for his weekly visit.
Hey, DA, let's talk a little bit about the draft, brother. All right. The draft was, a lot of people were shocked to see Baker Mayfield go number one overall. I don't want to talk about Baker Mayfield going number one overall, but I don't know if there's reports out today. I don't know if you've seen it, brother, but that the Patriots were actually thinking, they picked at 23, that they were actually debating and talking and in discussions with Baker Mayfield as potentially moving up to the number two spot with the Giants to trade for to get Baker Mayfield at number two, trading up to the number two spot from 23. And then you hear like Tom Brady interview with Jim Gray feeling that he's not maybe appreciated or acting as if maybe he's not feeling appreciated. What do you think about that whole situation? I mean, if this is reports true that the Patriots were interested in trading up to number two in the Giants to get a Baker Mayfield, what do you think that it says to one Tom Brady?
I don't know. It says a lot. First of all, like the Browns, I thought they could have easily get Barkley one and then got Mayfield four, and just scooped up who the quarterback they wanted and probably the best player in the draft. I don't know why they went to Mayfield one. I didn't think he was going to go to the Jets. I mean, I've always thought I wasn't very high on him. I guess maybe he interviewed really well or threw really well on the pro day or after analyzing. I just saw a lot of red flags, in my opinion, on the way he played. And so I'm surprised that he went there. Now, as far as teams saying now that they're chasing him, I'd say more than any team, the Patriots are better at just creating distractions around what might or might not be true, and they never commit or answer to any of those, quote-unquote rumors. So I'm not very... I don't really listen to that much. I mean, they got to replace Tom Brady at some time, and I don't know who or where it's going to come from, but I would have been really surprised if they would have traded up to get Baker Mayfield at two. That would have been crazy.
There's actually an update on that story from the website The Athletic. They're reporting that Josh McDaniels was behind this, that Mayfield had repeatedly told the Patriots, no, I don't want to meet with you. You're not drafting me. Mm-hmm. And that Josh McDaniels, as a way to get Mayfield to agree to sit down with the Patriots, told his agent, you know, we're thinking about trading up for him. So that was apparently the motive behind that meeting. But, yeah, I mean, the other way to, I guess, look at
it
is...
Don't forget this, though. The Patriots are probably the best organization about having draft grades and then going out and getting those guys in free agency when things don't work. They don't just ironically take flyers on guys that didn't work on other teams. They know a lot about those guys going all the way through the draft. So, like, you always see them that they go get players... But you know that those guys, they knew from a long time ago, fit their system, and they just happened to miss them in the draft. So this might just be a way for them going to intel. I've also heard that Belichick doesn't let anyone in the room anyway. It's him and Ernie Adams and like one little scout. That's the only people they allow in the room when they draft. So who knows?
Wow. So speaking of quarterbacks, everybody's got an opinion on the five that went in the first round and how they will do in their situations. I'm kind of fascinated by this whole Rosen thing in Arizona. He's going to get to work with Larry Fitzgerald. They drafted Kirk Cousins, and maybe they can develop side by side. Who of the five do you think is going to be the most successful?
I try to compare them across, right? I have Flacco remind me a lot of Josh Allen. I had, unfortunately for Baker Mayfield, Johnny Manziel. He reminded me of Johnny Manziel. Josh Rosen, for some reason, I thought he reminded me a lot of Matt Leinart. It's funny that he went 10 to the Cardinals, because that's exactly where Leinart went. Where Leinart could have had an amazing NFL career, and things didn't. The things just didn't fit and work out for him. But he had all the tools. I think Rosen is the same way. He has all the tools. Can he shed some of the SoCal kind of attitude that has built up around him, and can he make things happen when he gets there in Arizona? I think he can. I really like him a lot as one of the top of those five. But it's all about your fit, right? Like, this whole Baker Mayfield experience in Cleveland is going to be crazy because that team still stinks. So, like, can one of these guys go to a team? Can they get good fast, and then can they make him even better? That's the key.
David Anderson joining us for his weekly visit. D.A., the Texans in the fourth round drafted a slot receiver named Kiki Kuti. Kiki Kuti out of Texas Tech. And I don't expect you to...
time that they've ever, in the history of this franchise, they went out and drafted, you know, a slot receiver, you know?
In the fourth round. They drafted one in 2006 in the seventh round.
Okay.
Yeah. From Colorado State.
There's no such thing as a slot receiver back then. You just drafted receivers.
That's right. You created the position. You and Wayne Krabet.
That's right.
D.A., so Kiki Kuti, I don't expect you to have broken down a bunch of Kiki Kuti film, but he's a slot guy who also has an extra gear to get downfield. What can a guy like that in the slot do for Deshaun Watson?
Well, don't forget, I actually did Kiki Kuti's game. I did the second game of the season,
okay.
I believe. I was who did they play? I think they played Eastern Michigan or something.
Okay.
When Nick Semenik was out there dealing, and Kiki had a pretty good game. It's tough to grade Texas Tech receivers because they just all seem like they're running wide open all over the receiver. Running wide open all over the field. But he did a great job with the ball in his hands. Slot receiver is about slowing the game down with your mind more than your feet, because there's players coming from all angles, and unless you understand defense and where they come from, their responsibilities, it doesn't matter how fast you are. The middle of the field is faster than you are. So that's why some guys can go both. That's why you see guys like Larry Fitzgerald, they can transition there and toward the end of their career because they're able to understand what exactly is going on. But it's good that he's spent some time there. But it'll be interesting to see how they get him the ball. He's a guy that Texas Tech, you know, they do a lot of bubble screens. They do a lot of quick passes. They get the ball out of the quarterback's hands rather quickly. I want to see him work downfield and see not only that, but how well can he block? Can he get down, cut some guys down, and can he take care of the nickel fan?
Hey, D.A., isn't like kind of a slot receiver like what makes them dangerous? I mean, I feel like a lot of slot receivers, they do those option routes where it's like you don't know exactly what your route is until the snap of the ball and you read the defense. And so doesn't the slot receiver and the quarterback, I mean, it is imperative, right, that those two are on the same page and seeing the same thing?
You don't know your route until probably you're four steps into a five-step route. Yeah, you're running an option route, and you kind of delay. The quarterbacks take a five-step drop. You delay off the line of scrimmage. You take about three steps, and whatever way you see the defense shift or whatever they favor, you take the opposite. And every now and then you go for the gold, and you do a big juke move, and you get out of responsibility, and you get inside or outside, and then catch what's room to run. But, yeah, those are decisions you have to get on the same page with your quarterback, when you're going to take the easy one and when you're going to go for the big one. And that's something that I think, the Patriots, Edelman and you name it, still in white guy, have done really well for a long, long time.
Well, Welker, too, yeah.
Yeah, not bad. It's David Anderson, former Texans wide receiver. He joins us each and every Tuesday on the show. D.A., we appreciate you making time, brother. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, bud.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Thanks, D.A. Appreciate it. He brought up a good, at the beginning of that, that would be fun to have like an Olympics of bar games. Darts.
That would be fun.
Beer pong.
Yeah.
Shuffleboard.
Maybe give Rashard Lewis a call. He might want to get in on starting a league.
Shuffleboard. Yeah, no kidding.
I don't care about D.A. anymore, though, man.
Why?
Dogging my Colorado Buffaloes.
Yeah.
How many undrafted,
You got him back pretty good by saying the Texans had never drafted a slot receiver before.
You're asking this question I wanted to, so I had to jump in there with that.
Gotcha.
I had that line already ready and all set, man. But way to go.
I harshed you on that.
That's okay.
One.
We still got it in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
We still got it in.
All right.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.